You're listening to a message from New Life Foursquare Church in Canby, Oregon. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to you. Visit canbyfoursquare.com to learn more.
This is great. I actually was really looking forward to this. We made the decision when we saw the weather. Well, we're only a few blocks away. We'll just come and open the doors, and for those that want to come to church can come to church, and for those that need to stay home, that's good. So we want to wish you a happy, happy new year. God bless you. It's great to see the kids in here. Hi, kids. Hello there. I like that. That's good. How many watched the podcast last Sunday? Did you get a chance to do that? If you haven't done it, I think, is it still on? It's still on. Go ahead. Go on to that podcast. And the reason I'm telling you to do that is I think you'd really enjoy listening from each one of the pastors. They really just share 2 or 3, 4 minutes of their heart about the new year. And it's really well done. I was so proud of them. Annette and I sat in our kitchen last Sunday for a couple hours and listened to the worship selection that Shannon put together and then listened to the pastors and just really enjoyed it. So we want to encourage you, if you haven't listened to that, go ahead and do that. I'm so proud of our team and our leaders. They've just done a great job. So we are doing this. We're starting a brand new series today, and it's called Impact. And for the next 8 weeks, we're going to be taking a close look at the book of Philippians. And because today is what it is with the weather, we're going to modify that just a little bit. And here's the direction we're going. I want to take you into the book of Philippians for just a little bit to begin your new year. So if you have your Bible with you, you can open up to Philippians, first chapter. If you don't, there's some Bibles around the building here. I think there's some under the seats, maybe close by. Just go ahead and take one of those Bibles, open it up to Philippians, and we're going to look at chapter 1, 2, 3, 4. We're going to cover kind of an overview today and take an abbreviated approach. And what we're going to do is talk about Philippians and the impact that Philippians has had on our lives and the impact that it's had really over history. And the church is the first church planted in Europe, and it's an amazing, amazing story. And after we do that, what we're going to do is take time with communion in taking the Lord's Supper together and worship some more, and then we're going to send you on your way. Are you all good with that? So let's do this. Let's pray in Jesus' name. Father, I want to thank you for those that are here today. We just share the blessing of grace in your Holy Spirit in our lives. And I just pray a blessing on each family that's present here, each family that might be listening on Facebook. We just pray in Jesus' name for your encouragement. As we go into this new year, you have impacted our lives. You have transformed us by your amazing grace, and we want to thank you for that. Let us be an impact in the world that we live in. In Jesus' name we pray, and we say together, amen and amen. So here's why we're going into Philippians. It was a few months ago. I was thinking and praying about what to do and teach to start off 2017. And a question came to mind, and maybe you've heard this question asked before. If your house was on fire, God forbid, but if it was, what would be the one thing you would grab and run out with? What would be that one thing that you would, what would be that one thing? Tell me. Yes, what would be the one thing?
My favorite stuffed animal.
Your favorite stuffed animal. There you go. What else? A Bible, you'd grab your Bible and go? James?
I'd probably take my family or
your dad or your mom? Which one would you grab first? Your mom?
I'd grab all of them.
Oh, okay. I would grab your mom. Get your mom out there and let your dad fend for himself. That's what we would do on that one. Yeah, what would you do? I mean, really, it's kind of one of those questions that we ask, but hopefully we never have to answer. I thought the same thing when it came to the 66 books in the Bible. And it was like the Holy Spirit was asking me, out of the 66 books in the Bible, if you could grab one book and run and go, what would it be? My immediate response was the book of Philippians. That's the book that I would take with me. Close second would be Philemon, because I love the book of Philemon. Most of you know I love the book of Philemon. In fact, we start a class next week in the book of Philemon. 25 verses, it's great for me. You know, I have a short attention span, so 25 verses is really good. But Philippians is a great book. It's a wonderful book. And I had to stop and think for a moment, why would I choose Philippians? I mean, why did that come to me? why all of a sudden did I choose Philippians to grab that book and run? And maybe you have a book that's your favorite as well. Some of the kids already answered. What would be one of the books maybe you'd grab? John. The Gospel of John's a great one. I love the Gospel of John. What else?
Romans.
Romans would be one. I mean, yeah, it'd be great. What a great apologetic for the Gospel. What are some other books?
Psalms.
Psalms would be a great one. Soothe our soul. Learn about life and people and our relationship to God. What else? What are the other books? I heard that. Acts. Yeah, Acts would be good. It's a great model, template. Live your life like they did in the New Testament, early church. Anyone else? Another book? Huh? Proverbs. Yeah. Annette, if she was here this morning, she would probably pick an Old Testament book. She's like an Old Testament girl. I heard someone say to me the other day, I would choose Daniel, the book of Daniel. I thought, oh, well, that's interesting. Yeah. It lets me know your persuasion. You know, you've got prophetic type, Old Testament. But I would take, I really believe this, I'd take the book of Philippians just because it's so dear to my heart. And I want to give you a few reasons why, and in this is the lesson today. In the reason why I would grab Philippians is, I think, in our lesson today. Number one, because Jesus is exalted as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I think that's, to me, the first thing that I come away with when I read the book of Philippians. That he is exalted as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it's not just that that's the exclamation or exaltation of Jesus Christ. It's how he gets to that place of being King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's why one of my favorite passages is Philippians 2, 6 through 8. And this is how he gets to that place of being exalted, who being in the very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. A selfless life. And all of us have been given certain advantages in life, and I know we've all struggled with holding on to those advantages and not sharing those with others. What the Bible tells us here, that Jesus was given an advantage, that advantage was with his Father in heaven, and he chose not to hold on to that advantage. Instead, what he did is he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even the death of the cross. And because that is the journey that Jesus took for us, the Bible then goes on in the next few verses, says, because he's done this, he is highly exalted. He is exalted as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so every time I read this, it reminds me of my own state of being, my own mind, because that's exactly why Paul's writing this. He's saying you need to have this same mind, have the same mind as Christ. And he goes into this description of Jesus Christ and how he came to save us, and that every knee will bow ultimately, every tongue will confess. But I love the process and reading about the process of how Jesus came to us and how he saved us, how he redeemed us. The second reason I think, I know for me, that comes to mind when I think about Philippians is because, you know, the church of Philippi, when I read and study about that particular church, and if you want to do any extra studying there, you can go to Acts chapter 16, because that's where Paul really, that's where he plants the church, in Acts chapter 16 in Philippi. But one of the reasons I really love this book is because of the church of Philippi. It reminds me of you. It reminds me of New Life. When I read verses 3 through 5 in chapter 1, it says, I thank my God, Paul saying this, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I can say this, that from the first day that Annette and I arrived here and that our family arrived here, there was an immediate, I think, sovereign partnership in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That what we've decided to do is keep the main thing, and that's Jesus. And that's sharing the message, the good news of Jesus Christ, to the communities that we're part of, to the families that we're connected to, and really to the world at large, that our call is to bring the good news of Jesus Christ, because we know that's the only thing that can redeem and save and set us on a course for eternal life. And so when I think of the people of Philippi, I think of you. I think about what God has put in your DNA as a group of people. And there's never really been, in the 28 years that I've been here, there's really never been a struggle over what is our call, what is our purpose, which is very rare today. And I want to let you know that it's very rare that we all have come together and we've said, this is what God's called us to do. He's called us to make disciples who make disciples. And we're going to continue to do that until Jesus comes again. And we start with our kids, and we work up through our adults and our prime timers, and all of us are in this process of becoming a more fulfilled follower, disciple of Jesus Christ. And so I think when I read through the book of Philippians, I'm so reminded of you, especially in the fourth chapter when it talks about the generosity of this church. It says they didn't have a whole lot, but they were very, very generous with what they were given. And you have been very, very generous with what God has given you. Your tools, your talents, your resources. You're an incredibly generous group of people, and I just like hanging out. I like hanging out with you. I like hanging out with generous people because there's something disarming about generosity that I really appreciate and I see in your life. And then I think for the third reason I really love the book of Philippians is, and this is for you scholars, because the Christology of Jesus, and in this book, the Christology of Jesus is clearly in the context of relationship. It's not just theology. It's not just wishful thinking. It's not just something that is in our future. It's about right now in relationship. And Paul clearly describes what that looks like. You know, he talks about his relationship with Jesus. He talks about the Philippian church's relationship with Jesus. And he says, here it is. And then he paints this picture of Jesus Christ through the whole book of Philippians that I think is beautiful, especially chapter 2. But he says this in verse 6 of chapter 1, and some of you are familiar with some of you might have, this might be your life verse. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. What that's talking about is a relationship that Jesus has committed to us. And his promise is he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us. He'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us. And it isn't just about him hanging around with us. It's about him doing a work in us. That's really the commitment that Jesus Christ has made with each one of us. And so maybe as you go into this new year, I don't know what you're facing and the relationship you're dealing with, whether they're at work or school or wherever you might be. Sometimes you can feel a little disenfranchised. You can even ask the question, God, where are you? Please know this. He is committed to you. Jesus Christ is committed to you. Being confident of this, he who began a good work in you will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. And that's something you can hold on to, I think, gives us peace in the day that we live in. And the Apostle Paul, when he talks about his relationship with Jesus Christ, he talks about it in in bold terms. The Apostle Paul exudes such great joy about his and the church's relationship with Jesus. I think one of the most remarkable things about this book to the Philippians is the word joy. It's mentioned 16 times in just 4 chapters. That's 104 verses. It's mentioned 16 times. Paul also mentions Christ over 50 times in the 4 chapters. So what does that tell you? Why does he do this? Well, I think the reason he does this is because his joy, our joy, is found only in Jesus Christ. So he's wanting us to know that there's no other place that we can find joy except in Jesus. It's not in the things that we earn or the resources we have or our satisfaction from the job or the money that God has given us, but it's solely and only and truly in Jesus Christ. So he says, my joy comes from that. And he talks about this great joy. So if you want to label the book of Philippians any way, you can label it this way. It's a book of joy. I think Philippians is a book that describes the theology of joy. So dig into it as we go into this next eight verses. The next 8 weeks. I really want to dig into what real and true joy looks like in my life and what it looks like in your life. And regardless of the circumstances we face, that's the thing about joy. True joy lasts through even difficult circumstances. It's what's there. It's what bubbles up from inside. So why is this remarkable? Why is it remarkable to me? Consider where it was written. So you have to consider where the book of Philippians is written. It's written from a prison in Rome about 10 to 15 years after this church in Philippi was planted. So how do you write a letter like this from a prison to a church community where you spent much of your time in their prison? Well, certainly Paul's joy did not come from the external. That's one thing that we can say for sure. In Acts chapter 16, verse 25, while he was in prison, it says, "And about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them." And the story we'll unpack a little more as we go through this series. But it's an incredible place where what they decided to do in this horrible circumstance is they decided to let their joy run over. They decided to worship and sing and let their joy be known in one of the darkest places probably on the planet. At least it was for them. So here's the bottom line. You were born, each one of you were born to have impact. God has created you to worship Him with joy and have an impact on the world that you live in. And that's the way that I'm praying for you and your families and in your relationship, that there would be just this impact of God's Holy Spirit would work in your life. And that you would recognize that in an early age. For some of you young people, I want you to know that you have impact, that you have purpose, that God has called you for a reason. One of the things that we love to do during our Christmas holiday, before we open any presents, before we eat any food, Annette and I gather the family together, and for the month prior to Christmas Eve, we've been praying over each one of our kids and our grandkids and asking God to give us a word for them. You know, just would He give us a word for them? And then we sit down for several hours and we just start thinking about each one of our children, each one of our grandchildren, and writing just a prophetic word for them that would encourage them, especially going into a new year. And then Annette takes those words, types them up, and takes the old Christmas cards that you've sent us, and she glues those onto the old Christmas cards and clips them to each one of their stockings. So we gather together in the living room, and we just start to read those words. And to watch how it affects each family member, but especially those that are younger in our family, our grandkids, to watch the joy in their heart, to know that they're serving a God who has purpose, that they're part of a family that worships the Lord, that they're part of a church community that loves and worships Jesus. There's such a depth to that. And so before we go to communion, I just want to, if you haven't had God speak a word to you for the year 2017, the one that we're in, ask Him. It's real simple. The Bible says, seek and you will find. Parents and grandparents, be bold about giving a word to your kids and to your grandchildren, letting them know that they're valued, letting them know that they can right now have impact in the world that they live in. And that's what I'm looking forward to as we go into a new year, that God is, He's wired all of us to have impact through the gospel of Jesus Christ, through Jesus alive in us. Can we say amen to that? Amen. I'm going to invite Shannon to come back up. Let's pray together. Father,
thank you for listening. Please let us know if you have questions or would like us to pray with you. You can contact the church office most weekdays at 503-266-4444 and anytime through canbyfoursquare.com.